You have your Bible this morning. You need to open it, if you would, to Psalm, Book of Psalm. I first got saved. We call that Palms. Palms and Job, you know. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need Thy power, Thy wisdom, Thy might, Thy grace, Thy strength. We need an anointing. We need a touch from heaven. I pray, O God, help us, empower us, and enable us this morning to preach and to teach the Word of God. May it be clear and understandable to the hearer. I pray the Holy Spirit would take the word spoken, lodge it in our heart, give us understanding, give us wisdom in the things of God. Help us to see and to see clearly. We'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, generally speaking, we do God and Country rallies on July the 4th. But this is midterm election, so I'm going to do God and Country this morning. Amen. I looked all through the Bible, and I didn't see anything in there where it said you can only do it once a year. So, and we need it. Let me read you some verses, and then we'll come back and make some observations about the verses. Now, of course, we just read there in Psalm 2:2 that the kings and the rulers set themselves against the Lord. It is apparent that the kings of the earth operate, for the most part, in opposition to God. They set themselves against the Lord, the king and the rulers. Government has never been a friend of God, just never has been. And there's some reason for that, and we're going to comment on that in the observation section. Just bear that in mind. Now, I want to read you some verses, and then we'll look at them. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, you don't need to turn there, I'll read them for you. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. God says people that are going to be rulers ought to rule right. They must be just. And that a ruler should rule in the fear of God. Now, I don't know how you get separation of church and state out of that, but you know, it'd be a tough thing to do. Say, all that separation stuff, none of that comes from God. None of that comes from the Bible. That's just a bunch of man-made hocus-pocus to deceive the simple and get you to keep your mouth shut. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, the Bible said, I'm reading the Bible. This is not my opinion. This is the Bible said. The Bible said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So the peace, the tranquility, the harmony of the population of any nation is directly affected by the quality or the righteousness or the lack thereof of its leaders and its rulers. When good men rule, people prosper and are happy. When wicked rule, the people mourn. That's because the wicked are always levying taxes and ripping them off, and they're all about the rulers, not all about the people. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7 said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, y'all got that part figured out, though, don't you? The rich guys are always in charge. Well, you know why that is, don't you? You ever have a poor guy offer you a job? Duh. They said, oh, we don't want to give tax breaks to the rich. I thought, help them out. Amen. I'm a trickle-down guy. Amen. I'm not going to get anything from somebody who has nothing. If I'm going to get anything at all, I got to get it from the guy what's got something. I wish there were plenty of people what got something. Because I want a lot. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Everybody knows this verse. They just don't know this part of it. For unto us a child is born. What's the next phrase? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Where's God and government again? I'll be a son of a gun. Well, you cannot separate them, can you? I don't care how hard you try. They are Siamese twins. They are joined at the hip. You can't get God and government separated to save your soul. God's always got His nose in it. Say, why? Well, for one thing, He's a sovereign. He's a king. Amen. So He has a vested interest in what? Government. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And what's government supposed to take care of? He's supposed to take care of His people, the sheep of His pasture. Amen. So God is the direct originator and caretaker of government. Psalm chapter 67 and verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Oh, that verse said we're supposed to have a party. We're supposed to rejoice and sing joyfully. Why? Because someday God is going to rule upon the earth. One of these days, it ain't going to be whoever it is today. One of these days, it's going to be God Almighty. And He said, sing and rejoice. Why? Because He'll rule justly. He'll be fair. He'll be equitable. You hear all these people say, well, Barack Obama said that he would consider a certain tax in the context of the fairness of it. In the context of the fairness of it? Does that make any sense to you? It didn't make any sense to me. I sometimes have a hard time understanding what our politicians are talking about. I mean, they talk more gibberish. They talk in bigger circles than anybody I've ever seen in my life. It's like talking to a philosopher. You ever talk to a small-town college philosopher? That's the biggest bunch of morons that ever drew a breath on the face of God's good green earth. They don't know anything. Their specialty is in what-if-ing. You say, well, this is so and this is so. Yeah, but what if? You can never pin one. They don't believe anything. They are like a piece of trash driven by the wind. Only God knows where they're going to go. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, where did all human government come from? You thought it originated with the forefathers? And the Plymouth Brethren? And the Moravians? And the Huguenots and the Pollards and the Lollicans and Pelicans and all that? That ain't where it come from. I got news for you. All human government has its origin up here. And we need not forget that. We get ourselves in a big old mess when we leave Him out. And we think, oh, we founded this great nation and we founded upon these principles and we've done... No! The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen? If it wasn't for God, they wouldn't be here. Amen. Now, that's all the verses I'm going to read. The rest of it is just a rant.
I tell you what, I thought about this the other day. One of these days, I want to do a roast. But I think I'd be good at that. Just pick somebody. All right. Now, in those six or seven little verses there, it's quite clear a number of things. And just in case you didn't get those things that are quite clear, I'm going to give you some observations I made about those verses and what they teach us, and how we should look at them, and how we should apply them to our current situation. Number one, all power to rule derives from God. Now, you got Caesar sitting up there, and I don't care whether Caesar's the Merkel in Germany or Obama in America or whoever, Ahmadinejad, whoever Caesar happens to be, wherever you're at, he's there because God Almighty allowed him. All human government derives from God. And when human government forgets God, they set out on a wrong course that cannot possibly end right. A nation can only prosper when it considers God and takes God into account. And all the nations, that's political, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Amen? Well, before they end up in hell, they end up a hell hole. Amen. You show me one place in all of America, in all of our society, where everything has gotten better, where it works better, where it's more prosperous, where it's more beneficial, where it's better as we leave God out. Is the educational institution any better off without God? Is government better off without God? Is the population at general, at large, better off without God? The more godless we become, the more immoral we become. Listen, you talk to people, and their brains are on vacation. We've lost our collective mind. I listen to people talk all the time and reason, and I'm sitting there going, Lord, where is their head? They are so confused, they are so mixed up, the things they say are so idiotic, I mean, it leaves you cold. And it's a product, it's a direct result of we took God out of our civilization, and now we have no anchor, we have no set of rules, we have no guidelines, we have no ruler to go by, and man is driven from pillar to post by his own logic and his own thinking, and that changes from person to person and generation to generation until we've turned America virtually into a hellhole. We got guards at the doors at the schoolhouse. I see Americans all the time make me sick. You know what makes me sick? Because they're not mad about nothing. I mean, I don't know how you can be a good Christian and not be angry. The Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. I'm angry. They're talking about the anger in the American electorate. But I was angry before this thing started. I ain't no newcomer. What's that song I used to sing? I was country before it was cool to be. Before country was cool, I was mad before anybody thought about getting mad. All power to rule derives from God, and if He gives you the authority, He wants credit. He wants to be included, and God Almighty gets angry at nations that leave God out. Number two. God knows nothing about the separation of government and religion. All this stuff about you're supposed to can your religion and don't say anything about Bible or God, now, unless you're a Muslim. Or unless you're one of them Hare Krishna guys. You go down to the airport and put on your white toga and shave your head and sit down on the corner over there and go, Om, Om, Om. The first time I saw it, I thought the guy was hurting. Oh, man, this guy's got a bad bellyache. them the Muslims get up and talk about this is the first drop of blood in the wiping out America and all that stuff. They can talk about if you say something against Mohammed and if you draw a cartoon, we'll kill him. We'll put $1 million contract on your head because you desecrated a book. Well, you can print 100 million of them. What's the big deal? People burn the Bible. We don't kill people. Amen? They say the Muslim religion is a religion of peace. I don't believe that. Say, why don't you believe it? Well, one, I don't believe it because everywhere they go, trouble starts. They always talk about killing somebody. And it can't be a religion of peace because if a man's wife dishonors him in any way, he can kill her. Them women live in fear 24/7. Oh, I gotta be careful. If I tick the old man off, he'll whack my head. Hello? Now, God doesn't know anything about separation of religion. That's a man-made thing. Now, I agree with you. I don't think there ought to be a church state. I don't think the church ought to be the government. I think the government ought to be separate from the church in that sense. But when they say separating church and state, they're talking about anything the government has anything to do with, you can't introduce any religion into it any way, shape, form, or fashion. That was never the intent of the framers. That's just nonsense. Now listen, I'm an independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James, only Christ, King James, sin, hating Baptist. Amen? I mean, I got a narrow piece of literature, buddy. Amen. I got a narrow perspective. Because God is narrow. Didn't you read about the straight and narrow and the broad way that leadeth to destruction? I ain't getting on that one. I got a narrow piece of literature. And it affects everything. Listen, I got conviction about how you ought to dress. I think some people wear clothes that are abominable. Amen. I got conviction about where you ought to go on vacation. I got conviction about what holidays you ought to celebrate. Like the one coming up tonight. Nothing out. Ain't on my accepted list. I got conviction about everything. I got conviction about politics. I got conviction about the death penalty. I think they ought to put some more things on the death list. Nowadays you gotta kill 49 people in cold blood to even get considered for the death penalty. I think God put every rapist on the death row. Amen. God did. I think God put all homosexuals on there. Oh! Listen, didn't Romans chapter 1 say they do which such things are worthy of death? So why? Because they're an abomination. They're a deviation. What? Some of y'all just, preacher, you're just too hard, you're too radical, you're over the top. Yeah, my problem is I've been reading this Bible way too long. And it has separated me and some of y'all by a mile. God is always involved in politics. You know who David was? He was the king. You know who Saul was? He was the king. You know who Jeroboam was? He was the king. You know who good King Hezekiah was? He was the king. Why, 2/3 of that Old Testament's all about what? Kings and kingdoms. You know what God did all the time? At least a dozen times in there, He sent Billy Graham to sit down with the president and tell him to get it straight. And you go all through there, here comes them prophets. They're going down to the king and say, buddy, you're off the straight and narrow, and if you don't get it straight, God's going to get you. Amen? Why, you think religious people ought to counsel? Yeah, if they're getting away from biblical principles, then I think religious leaders ought to stand up and say, this is religious people. We're a God-fearing nation. We're Bible-believing folk. This is a Christian America. Amen? I think I'd do what Merkel didn't tell them Muslims, go home. Number three. Y'all having fun, ain't you? Yeah. I told you tonight would be good. Come back tonight. Number three. As a rule, now we're making observation on the verses we read. Okay? I'm just updating them six or seven little verses to the 21st century for you. That's all I'm doing. As a rule, men don't want God to share in the power that God gave them. All power derives from God. All governments are ordained by God. The powers that be are ordained by God. But you know what? The minute they get in, they close the door on God. I'm here today. I just don't believe God had been in that meeting between Barack Obama and Eric Holder and a bunch of them fellas. I just don't believe God had been in that room. For one thing, he won't put up with the language of Eric Holder uses. Amen. Amen? I don't think he listened to Joe Biden. Amen. You hear the way Joe Biden whispers to the president? And you know what really aggravated me? The president didn't get offended. That's because he didn't listen to Eric Holder. Bunch of foul-talking reprobates. Amen. Now, the problem is, and not just America, by the way, but around the world, rulers and power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so when people get in power, the first thing they want to do is hang on to it. Now, you got a fellow down here in a local election that is senile. He's way too old to do anything. I'm here to tell you, people his age, when they get up and go out and eat breakfast and mess around all day, by about 2:30, they got to have a nap. Amen? They can't put in a whole day's work anymore. And they don't think straight. They get everything all tangled up. Even if he wasn't of the wrong party, he's too old. He ought to have enough common sense to say, listen, I can't cut the mustard anymore. Replace me. But then, you know what? He wants to hang on to that power. That's what it's all about. We got congressmen and senators that some of them have been in office 13 terms. They are up in their 80s and their 90s. Throw them old guys out. Republican and Democrat and independent, if they are any, throw them out. Are they too old? They've been there too long. Need somebody that's been out here running a company and working a job. Amen. We need somebody that was sick and tired of career politicians. We need some folks up there that know how to work and how to make things work. We don't need any ideologues. All them guys, half of them are just fighting, spending $100 million. That one lady spent $120 million of her own money to get elected to a job that don't pay $200,000 a year. There's something weird about that. I'll tell you what, I don't care if she stays in office the next 50 years, she can't break even. So what's in it? I'll tell you what's in it. It's power. Sir, would you please call me a senator? I worked very hard to get that title. That's what it's about. My name is Senator. The prefix is worth it all. Amen. Amen. So men don't want God mixing in government because God, they have to understand they're not the absolute power. They're not the final authority. They're not the top rung on the ladder. The buck stops above them. Amen. Somebody had a thing in the president's office there, the Oval Office, that said, the buck stops here. No, it don't, bud. You answer to somebody, too. You just a hireling. Amen. You know, I think somebody ought to do a thing one time on the structure of government. You know, like if you did in the United States, we'd have city government. You'd have a mayor and councilman and this, that, and the other. And then you'd have county government. And then you'd have state governments. You'd have representatives and state senators and a governor, right? That's a little bitty microcosm of the big one. And then our federal government is based, you know, you have your state government, and then the federal government has its president and the Congress with two houses and the judicial and all that. And so it's always a pyramid, right? Every nation thinks they're the top of the pyramid. Somebody ought to do a model and say, okay, you got city government, county government, state government, federal government, right? Okay, and then you got this federal government, and you got this federal government. Here's the Russians, and the Chinese, and the Japanese, and there's a pyramid, and who's at the top of that one? And put a sign up that says, buck stops here. Okay, that'd be sitting on God's desk. Yeah. They just stop way too short. Why? Because they want the power. And they will lie and cheat and steal and defraud to get the power. They will spend billions of dollars that we don't have to keep them in an office. Throw the bums out. Which one am I on? Four now. Number four. Number four. I noticed this in those verses we read. Government without God brings the judgment of God. Amen. Government without God brings the judgment of God. Now, you know, they say, well, you know, we still have a chaplain up in the Congress, and they open every session of Congress with a prayer. God don't care. God ain't listening to that turkey. You say, well, he's a good man. He loves Jesus. He may. But he's a cop-out, and he's a coward, and he fails on his convictions. I'll tell you why. I don't care who it is. I don't know who's up there now. It doesn't make any difference. They all do exactly the same thing. They are not allowed to close a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know how I pray? In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You can do it any way you want to, as long as that Jesus is in there. And when you leave Jesus out, the Father ain't listening. Now listen, God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. His Son is going to sit on the throne and rule this world. Amen? And when you leave Him out, the Lord says, oh, hold it. There's something wrong with your worship down there. There's something wrong with your prayer life down there. There's something wrong with your government. If you want it right, if you want me to listen, you better put Jesus in it. Amen? Now, let me ask you something. Think about this for a minute. If you can't pray in the Congress of the United States in Jesus' name, how do they let a Muslim open prayer? Or close a prayer? Don't they open it with Allah? Isn't that the name of their God? Well, Jesus Christ is the name of my God. And I ain't praying if I can't close it in Jesus' name. And them chaplains, if they had any guts, and if they were real, they wouldn't do it either. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. Where am I at? Yeah, I got to move on. Number five. God has given us a form of government. Romans 13, 1. Amen. The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. There is no power that God didn't grant. Amen. So this form of government, this constitutional republic that you live in, was established, allowed, permitted by God. Now you've got to think about that for a minute. Here's why. God has given us a form of government that requires our participation in our government. Our form of government requires, it said, obey them that have the rule over you. Be subject under powers and authorities, right? Alright? The powers and authority that God ordained set up a government whereby we ensure a quiet and peaceable life with the voice of the governed. That means God Almighty ordained that you have a voice
in the government of the United States of America. Now, there's two ways you can lift up your voice. You can pray. You can pray. If you don't pray for your country, shame on you. That Bible said, pray for them, the governor, that you might lead quiet and peaceable lives. You ought to pray for Barack Obama or whoever's in office. You ought to pray for the president, the vice president, the Congress, the Senate, the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of the Senate, the whip, I mean, all of them. Pray for them. Now, you can pray anything you want to for them. I pray they get saved. Amen. And if they won't get saved, I pray God will override their wicked will and bring some good out of it anyhow. Amen. But your voice, you can lift up your voice in prayer. And then you exercise the will of the people or the voice of the people with your vote. I'm convinced if you are an American citizen and saved by God's grace and you don't vote, it's a sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. People say, well, preacher, I just don't think one vote make any difference. Well, how about a couple million one votes? Amen. You vote, I vote, you vote, you vote, you vote, you vote. There's 10 votes. The rest of the people in this audience vote, that'd be 60,000 votes. Well, maybe our congregation's not quite that large. But I was counting like Blinky does. If it said, God ordained the government, and that we are to obey them that have the rule, that are in authority, and the government of this country is established on by voting. We get rid of the bad. We get the good. How do we do that? We throw them out. We don't do it by armed rebellion. We do it at the ballot box. When somebody doesn't live like we want them to, or govern like we think they should, or vote for the proposals we think they ought to, we have the right. We are commanded. We are expected. We are obligated to go to the poll and vote for them. Vote them in or vote them out. Amen. Now, if you think my theology is a little thin there, you finish reading Romans chapter 13 and find out. My theology is not thin at all. God put you in this nation. God established this nation. And this nation runs, elects, or gets rid of, or puts in power, or takes out of power its rulers through the vote. Well, they're not voting for themselves. You and I have to do that. So voting is a requirement for citizenship in America. That's the government that God instituted. Therefore, to let it go, not to vote, is to disregard what God put in place.
In a couple of days, you and I have an opportunity to exercise our God-given right. More than that. In just 2 days, you and I have the obligation to exercise our God-given duty to vote. Now, this preacher's not allowed to tell anybody how to vote. And I agree with that. I don't think you ought to tell other people how to vote. It ought to be a free vote. You ought to vote your conscience. If you agree with me and my principles, fine. If you don't, that's one of the things that makes this country what it is. I'm not trying to tell you how to vote or who to vote for. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you ought to read your Bible, make up your own mind, vote your conscience. But you ought to vote. You ought to vote. Amen? You don't have to share with anybody how you voted. You can lie about it for all I care. I don't care. But the kind of government we have and the quality of the people that rule over us will be determined by who votes and how they voted. And if you don't vote, you don't have a voice in the leadership or the rulership of this country. You really don't have any right to complain about it either. And nothing much more irritating, there's a couple of things, but not many. There's a couple of things, not much more irritating than somebody sitting around whining about the government and the way they're running it, and they did this and they did that and blah, 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 and they ain't voted in their life. They don't stay informed. They don't know who's running, why they're running. They don't know what they're voting for. What a tragedy. God is giving you an opportunity He didn't give everybody in this whole world. Amen. Not everybody gets to participate in the selection of who rules over them. You do. That's a privilege worth fighting for and dying for. Because who I put in office and how they govern affects the quality and the nature of the life that my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren live. I can vote in tyrants and despots and ruin their future. I can sit back on my blessed assurance and do nothing and sound high and holy and pious and do nothing and watch their future disappear. Now we may lose anyway, and our way of life may go down the tubes anyway, but as a Christian, it is my duty, it is my responsibility, and it is my privilege to walk in that ballot box and pull that lever for whoever my conscience tells me to pull it for. And when I do that, I now have the right to stand and moan and groan about what goes on or rejoice, whichever it may be. Amen? I'm a Christian first. And after that, I'm an American. I remember being in grade school and they had declamation class. They had a little old fella come up there in front of the assembly on, I think it was Wednesday morning or whatever it was back in them days. And they were reading their little declamation speeches. And the very first little guy that got up there walked up, had on a little coat and tie, and his hair was all cut shiny, and he had that beeswax stuff in it. Boy, had it all, I think it was a crew cut, all stuff up there. And he come up and he laid his little paper down and he cleared his throat and he looked down and he lifted his eyes and he looked right at us. And he said, in a clear, high-pitched voice of a 10 or a 12-year-old, he said, I am an American. And that thing went through me. I had cold chills. And to this day, I have not forgotten it. I got saved when I was 27. Then I could say I'm a Christian. But long before that, I was saying, I am an American. Proud. Proud to be an American. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go and exercise our God-given right and vote. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Help us to do that which is right. Give us wisdom in how to cast our ballot. But give us grace.